On today's Ag Show, we've been hearing from Devin Dreeschen before, so now it's time to hear from the critic of the Agriculture and Forestry File for the province of Alberta. We're joined by Edmonton Manning MLA, as well as Mom to Dakota and the other puppy whose name I can't remember. Sorry?
Prosecco.
Okay, yeah. So how before we get anything political, how are the pups?
They're great. I think they loved last week when Edmonton got our flash snowstorm.
We got that.
They were back to the puppy stage of playing out and enjoying the snow. Not so much myself, but yeah, Prosecco was actually adopted with that name, so I just want to clarify that.
Okay.
yeah, they're both Siberian Huskies. They're great.
Yeah, no, I know. I love the photos of them, especially Dakota. He looks like just a big cuddle bug. But at least by the looks of it. So I guess kind of staying on here, Heather, with the topic of animals, you would raise some interesting questions, I thought, to the Minister of Agriculture and Forestry, and that's about veterinary services. And you identify a need that farmers have been mentioning to you that they have. Could you tell us a little more about that?
Yeah, so there's been lots of conversations around veterinary services, I think, over the years. We know that there's a lack of vets, not only nationally, internationally, but of course there is a crisis in Alberta. And I think the issue that we're having now is that we're seeing the generation of veterinarians that are retiring, and there are younger veterinarians who are graduating from the University of Calgary, but many of them are staying in urban centers and not necessarily moving out to our rural locations. And so the mixed animal veterinarians are definitely in high need. And of course, I wanted to chat with the minister about that, mostly because we want to make sure that our cattle feeders and our hog producers are, you know, getting access to those veterinary services when they need it, so we can make sure that our supply chain continues to function the way that it does.
Okay, and I guess for somebody on that who kind of learning more about agriculture as I go, if these animals don't get the care they need, how much of a disaster could that be for especially a rancher, considering that especially if an animal has something that's contagious, it could really affect the whole operation, couldn't it?
Well, and for sure it could infect herd health, and it can also infect our supply chain. But I think that's why our veterinarians are so important, is that they are our animal healthcare workers, no different than we see our doctors. We need to have our veterinarians available to do the same thing. And so, I mean, we do know that there have been swine flus and, you know, the bovine infections and things, but our vets are very diligent. They are experts in their field, and in Alberta, something to be very proud of is that we have some of the highest accreditation requirements to work in the province. And so, of course, we are fortunate with that, you know, they are our family doctors to our pets and to our big herd animals. And so it's important that we continue to recruit and support veterinarians and working in rural Alberta.
It almost seems like, Heather, that's even like it goes to doctors as well. It just seems like medical professionals, whether they're looking out for their human beings or animals, just seems to be a big challenge to bring them into any rural parts, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think it is, and I think that it's important that we recognize that, you know, we have a rural doctor shortage in Alberta, and my critic, David Shepherd, has brought that up quite a few times about how do we continue to recruit doctors to rural Alberta, but the same with veterinarians. And I think, you know, when we talk about veterinarians as well, part of it is they're so specialized, but they're also traveling, you know, 2.5 hours to go see a client. When we think about our big herd and our mixed herd animals, because of course our ranchers are not, you know, living side by side, and so they have to be able to travel and go on site, and that is a very special place to work, in the sense of being dedicated to do that travel and to put that time in and provide that service.
Okay, and I remember I was mentioning this before we got into the show, and that is that Big Lakes County, and I'm just reading this from its press release, it says, Council faced many challenging decisions. One of the difficult choices Council made was to not renew the 2021 Veterinary Service Incorporated contract. And that was a program that had been offered by the county for several years. But over the views, they said the main complaint heard by the committee was that there was limited access to timely veterinarian services And as you just pointed out, the difficulty in retaining local veterinarians and others, this is coming right off from the Council of Big Lakes County in the High Prairie area. So are you hearing this also around the province as well, that like not just obviously here in Peace Region where we have an example of it, but are you hearing it a lot more rampant in other areas?
Well, I think that, again, it's a crisis in Alberta. It's a crisis across the nation and even internationally. And so part of why I had asked the minister about it yesterday is because we both, I think, are very aware that it's something that we need to ensure is supported, like veterinarians are supported in the province. And we need to be looking at post-secondary. So my question to the minister yesterday was, well, we need to be expanding and looking at the U of C spaces. So what is the minister doing when we see that post-secondary is actually being cut and it's going to be harder to recruit students to go into veterinary medicine if they're paying, excessive tuition fees? And so we need to make sure that, when we're looking at the economy and we're looking at the fact that veterinarians play a vital role in keeping our agricultural economy healthy and moving forward, that we're also looking at the fact that we need to support young students in entering into the veterinary program and not going to Saskatchewan or BC or other jurisdictions and then potentially not coming back to practice in Alberta.
Yeah, definitely always great to keep the local talent here if we can. And I guess one thing that I had mentioned with Minister Dreeshan when he was on earlier this week is that there was some progress made on the federal agri-stability program, but in other words, it seems like even then that despite the removal of the reference margin limit, I think he pointed that as a positive. So in overall with agri-stability, what do you think is missing in order to make it an ideal program?
Well, I think the minister and I are going to disagree on the agri-stability program in the sense of the big win when it came out of the negotiations that the minister attended. I think that, signing on to the program the way that the province chose to do that is fine in the sense that there was a piece of it that was obviously supported. But there was money left on the table by the minister when it came to signing on to the additional components. And I think that the issue with that is that all the federal government was saying is that the provincial government needed to pay their share of the cost. And the minister decided that he already knew that there had been money put aside by the federal government to pay for all of the agri-stability package. And instead of saying that they would pay their 40%, they said either the federal government pay 100% or we're not signing on. And the reality of that is that it is a cost-share program. And so, of course, when every other province, except for the three prairie provinces, are saying we'll pay our share, they then got the money. And we didn't get it in Alberta because the government refused to pay the agreed upon portion. So when the minister says, well, the feds didn't give us the money, the reality of it is that it was basically, I'm going to take my ball and go home if you don't pay me 100%. And I don't think that was fair to Albertans. And I think, in fact, the insurance program and agri-stability changes are really this way of the government taking that money and trying to pay off the debt that they've accumulated on the back of our farmers. And I think that's disingenuous of the minister to say that it's the Fed's fault, because it's not. The offer's still there, and I would like to see the minister take them up on it.
Yeah, fair enough. Also, as well, we saw that a lot of the irrigation that's been done in the province, and even though that's more in the southern area, not so much up around here, I guess the reason I bring it up is just because farmers are seeing great returns on their crop yields, but up here for the last 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, this area has fallen, I would say, drastically below, upwards of 20% below the average for amount of crops harvested because of wet moisture up here. Do you think it's time, and I did ask the minister about this, but do you think it's time as well that maybe a study is done up here to find out that if irrigation won't work up here, what would?
No, and I agree. I've been speaking behind the scenes with the minister about this, and actually I'm on the record in the House when we were talking about the irrigation funding that just was brought forward. I have asked the minister to come up with a plan for Northern Alberta. I think that, irrigation is very important for the South, and I understand that. But if we're going to say that farmers in the south need a water management system such as irrigation, we should be doing the same for the north. And so I believe that there could be a water study done to look at how, not only to support farmers and getting the water off their crops and to help with runoffs and drainage, but, you know, there's many municipalities that are also impacted every year about around that water. Last year, we saw roads being washed out and emergency culverts being built to address some of the runoff. And, of course, that impacts, again, from an economic perspective, not being able to transport your goods down roads because the roads are washed out is a problem.
Yeah.
And so the government really needs to step up and, like I keep saying to the minister, build the ark before the flood so that we're prepared.
Oh, okay, yeah, definitely makes sense on that. And now, you know what, Heather, I don't know about down there, but up here it's to the point where you don't need to bring a jacket in anymore. Now people are starting to walk around here in their shorts, and are you almost getting ready to, is it almost potato time where you're ready to put some potato seeds in the ground there?
That's so funny, because I just, the other day, so our seed potatoes are being shipped out to our planters as we speak, because that's
oh,
the
nice.
Year for it. And actually, I had just posted a picture of all of the, like, my producer who is bringing them out of the storage area right now and getting them ready for shipment. So, I have a potato producer in my area who does seed potatoes, and he's very busy right now getting everybody ready for planting in their field.
I do have to ask this, because I know I'm a big yams guy. I love my sweet potato fries. But from what I'm hearing, I don't think we have the climate here in Alberta to get those yams in the ground, do we?
No, you got to stick with our good old fast and baked potatoes.
Fair enough. That's going to be my first choice if they don't have the sweet potato fries. I'm not going to lie, very partial to those. Heather, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you so much. You have a great weekend.
This is Heather Sweet. She is the Agriculture and Forestry Critic, as well as the MLA for Edmonton Manning, and this is our Ag Show.